Love Osho Podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. This episode is part of the new edition of the Love Osho podcast dedicated to sannyasins who did not meet Osho in the body. Today our guest is Ma Dhyan Samudra. Samudra is an autodidact, eco-designer and pluridisciplinary artist, founder of the Art Deco and Design. Samudra has been developing and promoting the potential of reusing waste and unwanted materials in the field of design. Samudra took sannyas in 2007 and is a TEDx speaker, author and recipient of Kairos, the European Cultural Award. Samudra, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, so to start, tell us how you came to know about Osho.
So I was already living in India. I was living in the international township of Auroville in the south of India, which has been founded by on principles of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. So I was already on the path. I was searching a new dimension in my life. And I met somebody who was familiar with Osho. He said, "Don't you know Osho? Well, just type osho.com on the computer and you will see what comes out." And there opened the website of the of Osho International Meditation Resort in Pune. And it was such a beautiful place. But it did take me a few years until I was able to go to the place and enroll for the Work as Meditation program, which was a 3-month program at that time. So in the meantime, since I heard the name of Osho, I discovered Osho books by chance, really, stepping one day in a wonderful bookstore in a shopping mall in New Delhi. And it was the most quiet and beautiful place all around. And the books were so beautiful. It was very appealing, each cover and each title. And that's when I started to buy my first Osho books and to read Osho's words, and then later went to the Osho International Meditation Resort, and I could finally see him in videos, in his audio talks.
And then how did you decide to take sannyas?
It's not something I felt immediately, although every week around me, first I should say that I did spend almost 7 years in a row at the meditation resorts once I discovered it. It was quite like a big step in my life, you know, like Osho is not part of my life, only through books. And suddenly I discovered the world of Osho and I spent 7 years like full time. So it took me another 2 years until I felt that call to take sannyas, because actually my spiritual path or third did not start with Osho. So it was not the beginning of something to be in that meditation resort or to be with Osho. So sannyas did not make sense at the beginning for me. And only after 2 years living in the resort and doing this work as meditation, one day there was a death celebration, because Osho says that we should celebrate death. And so there is always a big send-off when a sannyasin leaves his body, his or her body. And it was such an overwhelming experience to be joyful and looking at a corpse that I thought, oh, that the time is ripe now. I should take sannyas.
If I understand correctly, you were already searching and you were engaged with other traditions, with other paths, and then you came across Osho and it took you a little while. You had this 7 years where every time you would go back to the resorts and do the meditations, and then somehow at some point you had the call, you felt like this is your path, you want to take it a little a step further and go deeper. So expand a little bit more on that.
Yes, it was immediate. The moment I came to the meditation resort, first it was for 2 weeks, just enjoying holiday around at the end of the year, you know, Christmas time and New Year. And it was so life affirmative. You see, it really added that dimension that I could not find in the other search and path of meditation, of yoga, of enlightenment and all these things. And Osho really added the joy. And I would say, I will use the word like movement. That might sound strange, but as you know, all this celebration in with Osho goes through lots of dance and expression of physical joy also, you see. So, life affirmative was the difference that Osho made in my life with the other disciplines I was in contact with prior to that.
Okay, yes, that's a big part of Osho, it's a big attraction, and so beautiful that he brought this element of celebration and life affirmative approach that very often is missing in other traditions. So it's great to hear that. And how did your life change after taking sannyas? Did you feel like the moment you took sannyas, there was a click, or it was like more a continuum?
No, my life did not change at all when I took sannyas. It was just saying, like, I belong to a family. For me, this was taking sannyas. I belong to the family of Osho sannyasins, people who have courage to live their life fully. And I'm still even very moved to speak about this today. But what I did not say yet is that doing this work as meditation program, we do not choose the kind of the job, the task that we perform during the day in the resort. But I was given the events department, which is just only creativity. And being an eco-designer, an artist, I mean, this was like the dreamed job, between brackets, I could have in my life. And so not only I had access to all this meditation all day long, by being in the resort, but also the activity I was performing was exactly what my aspiration, what I wanted to do in the normal life outside. And there I was able to be creative and to create a beauty that people would just enjoy in the evening, because, people might not know, but this, the life in the Osho Meditation Resort is, a lot of meditation, therapy groups and things like that. But also, every evening there is a program that celebrates, different arts. There is a variety show, there is a poetry night, there is dancing, dance party. So there was always a need to create new costumes, backdrops, invent games or invent concerts. And so that was just so fulfilling, and it added to the joy of practicing the meditation, of course, to do this.
So you mentioned that you had an opportunity to express your creativity and to do the things that are pretty much the same that you do in your profession. So I'd love to hear about what you do in real life and how the meditations and becoming a sannyasins and listening to Osho's discourses and being part of the sannyas community helps you in your life and in your profession.
So all these years with the Osho's words and Osho's meditations and techniques helped me to deepen my understanding about human conditions, about, of course, the weight of our conditioning. And especially for a creative person, you realize that you cannot be truly, genuinely creative if you don't get rid of a few layers of your conditioning. You know, if not, as Osho says, to be a creative, you have to be a rebel. If not, you just copy what others are doing. So it was, a deepening of things I had intuition of before, but with the help of Osho's words, it became more concrete, and I became more aware of that new dimension in my life. And also I learned to trust life more, and to be more here and now, and and to be more joyful, to be more playful, to be a bit more non-serious, because I tend to be a very mental person and a bit rigid and control freak. So definitely Osho's words and meditation have added this to my new life.
So let's talk about your big passion in life, which is eco-design, and you are a pioneer in this eco-design. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, the word eco-design did not exist when I started to work with that. Eco-design is working with the unwanted or waste material and to create something that has a design quality and that is useful out of it. So it can be with old textile making a garment collection, or with old car inner tube making wallet, for instance. It's not just confined to textile. It's any kind of waste. And our societies are really abundant in this respect, that we produce so much waste. So, yeah, I mean, I've never managed to enter into any art school, so I studied languages. But still, you know, when you feel something in your guts and you that you feel it's right what you're doing, I just opened my showroom one day in Amsterdam after my studies and say, okay, let's see if it works. And I made all these recycled products and try to sell them, and what didn't sell, well, I was not making them anymore, and what would sell, I would make more, and so I was making stationeries and fashion accessories at that time. And so it's really, yeah, not listening too much what people are were saying around me and following what I love to do, vision to recycle product, you know, that it's something really appealing, something that people want to buy, and not just to do a good action, but because it's a nice item that works and that is also aesthetically appealing to people. So in a sense, I've always been kind of a free spirit, you see, not fitting into any box of life and a bit atypical. So no wonder why when I met the world of Osho, I actually met many other people like me who were living the life they wanted to live, not living the life that somebody or that society wanted them to live. And I used to feel very lonely in the sense that I felt I was so different from the others before. And meeting all these Osho sannyas in community of sannyas, I felt I was not alone anymore. And so something in me said, you see, you were right. You know, there are other people living fully their life, their passion, like you. So it was a great relief, a kind of a feeling of support around me.
That is absolutely wonderful. And I think many people will resonate with that, including me, of course. And I think being with Osho is certainly synonymous with having the courage to be yourself. Be total, be creative, be rebellious. So it's great to hear that you found people similar to you in the world of Osho. So you mentioned the Osho community. Are you still in touch with the Osho community? Do you still go to Pune, or is there any other place where you go when you feel that you want to recharge or connect with the sannyasins?
I'm very much in touch. Well, at the moment, there is this COVID-19 crisis. So, of course, many Osho centers or gathering or festivals are canceled. But it is the center of my life, I would say. I mean, I used to have a partner that was also sannyasin, but now I'm on my own. I live in Italy, by the way. So the Osho community in Italy is very active and very juicy, and we are so many, you see. So it's not difficult to find other sannyasin. Like right now, I'm thinking of a holiday. Where do I want to go on holiday? I want to go to an Osho center. I really love the Osho Afros on the island of Lesbos, because it's in beautiful nature. And it's really lovely to go to the evening meeting to listen to the Osho discourse in nature, in the open air and with the wind. And so I've been a few years without going to India because of work priorities. But I was there at the New Year this year, just 6 months ago. So yes, I'm, if I would have more time from my work, I would be even more connected to the Osho community. It's the center of my life, really. It's, if I think of, okay, it's holiday, how can I best use my time for myself? Yeah, meditation, of course, being with not just like-minded people, but I would say like-hearted people, you see, that's what I long for. If I think of taking time from work and having a time that is nourishing my being, it's, of course, it includes Osho, meditation, and people alike.
That is so beautifully put. There is this expression of like-minded people, but I think the way you said it's like-hearted people, it gives much more of a feeling of what you get when you connect with sannyasins. Also, the fact that if you are in a profession and you have to work and you have perhaps limited holidays, and if you are in an environment, work environment, where your colleagues are not particularly spiritual, then you certainly need that nourishment. And going to an Osho place is not just an opportunity for meditation going in, but also you get that connection. There is a dance and celebration, and you can have a holiday which is meditative, and that's the beauty that Osho communities can offer.
Absolutely, I can only agree on that. Even, I mean, this time of lockdown, you see, in Milan alone, I've been 70 days at home alone. I mean, what would I do without Osho discourse, without the praise? It's such a presence in my life. It's just so nourishing, you know? Yeah.
And in terms of, you mentioned you live in Milan. Is there any Osho center which is in the city?
Yes, there is now only, there's two Osho centers now in Milan. There used to be three, but now it's two Osho centers. I don't really attend their meditation because it's either the wrong time of the day or it's a bit too far from where I live and it's traffic time. And but I must say that after having spent so many years in the Osho Center or even going there for my holiday, as I say, I'm able to live my daily life without having to go to an Osho Center every week. If you follow me, you know, I do Osho Kundalini at home. If a good friend wants to come, she comes. I mean, these Osho techniques also give the full freedom that you can do them anywhere, these Osho meditation, as long as you have the soundtrack. So it's beautiful. We're not, nobody is constrained to attend, to go to a center, really.
Yeah, all you need is your phone in your pocket with all the downloads of the Osho discourses and meditation, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, it's very beautiful, at least for me, to meditate with other people. It's very powerful. But of course, on a daily basis, in a normal life, if you work, it's you can do it on your own, of course. You know, you have to do it. It seems like you're very satisfied and nourished by the connection with the sannyasins, and there are lots of places in Italy, and you like to go to Osho Fros, which is a wonderful place in Greece. But what would you like to see in the world of Osho or in the sannyas world today?
Maybe I'd like to see events that are more affordable, that are not so costly, or therapy groups that are more affordable. But I also know that, I mean, it has its reason for being like this. So, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, there are obviously two sides of the story of the people who offer these courses, and they perhaps invested a lot of time and energy and money to get where they are. And on the other side, it's clearly, you know, it's a commitment. So for people, and I know some people have to really work hard for a long time to save money to do the courses. So yeah, I definitely see what you mean. There's no doubt about that. I mean, these groups cost, but meditation is for free. You know, Osho discourses and the Osho meditations, normally you can get them for free.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so as you know, Lovosho is also a platform to bridge the sannyas community, specifically the original sannyasins who live with Osho, with the people like you and me who have not met Osho in the body. Of course, you've been to Pune many times, you are in contact with the sannyasins, but do you have any curiosities or do you have any questions? Or is there anything you would like to tell, perhaps, to the original sannyasins?
Oh, well, if I'm really honest and sincere, I would say I'm a little bit jealous. I mean, when people tell about their experience in the ranch in Oregon, or even, I mean, with Osho in Pune, and of course, it's a time I have not experienced, and I will never experience it like they have. So there's a bit of jealousy. But what to do? It's like this. I came 20 years too late, and this is how it is. You know, I'm still so very grateful for all the wonderful first-hand material we have from Osho, the beautiful books. And I hope this continues, you see, because just today, in mentally preparing for this interview, I was thinking, okay, I have the feeling I came 20 years too late to meet Osho. But still, as I said, there's this wonderful first-hand material. What about in 50 years? What will be, what will remain of Osho in 50 years? The content will certainly be the same, of course, of his discourses. But the social context will be just so different that how will new people will approach Osho in 50 years? So, well, it's not very here and now consideration, but actually it is very much, because in my family, last month, my grandmother died and she was 98, and my great-grandmother died, she was 96. So I realized that I really feel that the world is just so different from when I was young. What will it be in 50 years? Will I still be fit to live in that world? And how will Osho still help me in the future?
I'm with you 100% on the fact that I am jealous, of course. I mean, there is no doubt that even though Osho is available and I feel very much with Osho, but, you know, he's no more in the physical presence, and that experience of living with him in the commune is gone, and that's it. You know, there's nothing that we can do about that. And that's part of the reason why I love talking to the original sannyasins and record the stories, because it's something so valuable, so precious, so unique, something that, in my opinion, in my understanding, happens once every 2,000-3,000 years. You know, the previous time was probably at the time of Buddha. But, and on the other hand, I think what you bring up here is very relevant, you know, how life would be in 50 years. Things change so fast. It seems like history was going to a slow pace. And then since technology advanced so much, you know, in the past 100 years or so, things started changing much, much faster, you know, as if there was like these gradual changes. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's shooting up. So, well, I hope that with this conversation we are having in the Lovosho podcast, we preserve some of that original ways in which people used to relate and live with Osho.
Yes, absolutely. And you really make me think, saying all this, how... Now, you see, I'm also... So I'm teaching eco-design at the university, but I'm also a Montessori teacher. And Maria Montessori's method is based on sensorial approach to learning. So we use all our senses to learn. And this is also, of course, very much connected to the experience of meditation as Osho teaches it to us. And I see as technology is overtaking our lives and that people think that they have had an experience because they have seen it on a video or on a screen, or it is just so important to keep having the real experience. And I think that all that is happening in the Osho world and Osho activities give us, yeah, this experience in the body, in our flesh, with our senses. And that is just so valuable in these days of the techno fix that is overpowering me, actually. I don't know for the rest of the world, but that's where my reflection is at the moment.
Okay, so Mudra, I'm really enjoying this chat, but we are heading towards the end. And I just want to mention that you wrote about your experience with Osho in a book, and there is a whole chapter dedicated to your experience with Osho. So if everyone is curious and interested to know more about your story with Osho after the interview, I will link your book in the show notes of this episode.
Okay, that's lovely. Thank you.
Okay, Samudra. So I'll send you lots of love and a big hug, and thank you for taking the time for this chat.
It's my pleasure. Lots of love to you too, beloved.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.